Accession number 11106. Mr. T. Wilson, reel 13.
Mr. T. Wilson, reel 13. The foot situation must have got pretty desperate, Mr. Wilson, over a period of time. Is this so?
Yes, it went down, down and down. As a matter of fact, not the messing of the RSM got the lad in give him a lecture. And he's, I'll put it in your words, he says, instead of getting two sausage breakfast, you'll only get one. Or maybe if you look at 1.5. Now, with the cuts and things like that. But the scale of rations laid down what everybody was entitled to, which is very little, really, but you still managed. As a matter of fact, even down to toilet paper was down, even down to toilet paper was down, was very, very scarce. So I'll tell you, when you go that far down, because there wasn't like newspapers printing things like that, the magazines going round. Well, in the army, you just had that little bit square paper all the time, because there was plenty of time. That, even the, down the toilet bit was very, very short. So I'll tell you, things were real. And also, we had a cobbler. That's the first time I've known, like our regiment, coupling fellas' boots, repairing their boots. Instead of getting, you know, they're no good now. No, well, you've got a new pair, you know, you're just putting, bought a new pair, got a new pair, whatever it was. He was mending the boots, and he had quite a lot to mend. The whole idea of getting mended, and things like that. Mend the regiment's boots.
Was clothing in a similar situation?
Well, clothing, it seems to last quite a while, your clothing, really. But you didn't get no issues. You went the other, you had to make last. No, there was. That's the first time I've ever known a regiment having a cobbler in wartime, the cobbler on boots. And he was there. I know that. He's ain't a canny fella. And then there's the medical people there and the dentist, you know, like if you wanted a dentist and things like that.
Did you get a cigarette ration?
Yes, and they'll be scarce as well. But you did get some. Well, me, I smoked a pipe, really. But the bananda part of it was when the convoys came in, the ships, you know, the Yankee ships. You had to go down and help unload them. Well, there was bombing going on then when you're doing it, things like that. And you could always get a bit extra tobacco and things like that off the. Get a packet or a carton off one of the crew and things like that. Because they seemed to have it, because they were anyway. But there were supplies coming in, and it wasn't very nice going down getting bombed in there, God, but with a different type of duty as well. Unloading this, you know, unloading the thing like with stevedore, tell them stevedore. And then you got well fed as well on the ship, the ration vexers or.
Did you see any of the ships badly damaged?
Well, we're away from the harbour. The only time we're down at the harbour, on duty down there, is when a convoy did come in. Otherwise, we're protecting the other part of the island. There would be fellas down there, other different fellas down there as well. But, yes, I was quite willing to go down and unload the ships for all. There's a few extra bombs and even a more bombing area than what you were further up, because that's what they were there. But them Navy fellas, they must have not there. Oh, the Mediterranean was a fire them days, there's no doubt about it. Oh, yes, the Mediterranean was a fire. And they're getting the Malta. Fireworks was lovely. And yet the chaps was only rationed this. It come down into that, the artillery fellas and the the aircraft chaps and that, they were writing about 10 shells a day. You know, now the scale of what, if they fired a certain amount, they were finished. It come down as bad as that. Well, I mean, being in the British Army, ammunition was just always your first supply. Then your food was next, but your ammunition was your first supply and always when you're fighting. You had plenty of that, and they were rationed. But all the probably able to do more than what they did. Once they fired so many rounds for that day, it come down that order later on. That was our quarter.
Was the grumbling from the men because everything was in such a short supply?
No, you don't want to allow the grumbling. You could, silently, but it wasn't worth it. No. Your sky pilot used to give you a lecture now and again and try and cheer up and things like that, or have a religious half hour. You know, ask him, you used to write it. Ask us any question about the Bible and I'll give you an answer and all that. Well, being soldiers, well, there's always a fella having a joke about something. Well, then, well, you can have many jokes like that, and it passed time away. And it took your mind off things as well. I used to enjoy having the crack of the parson there, that we used to call the sky pilot. And he's quite a nice fella.
What was his name?
No, I wish I could remember, because I thought of, as a man, I thought a bit about him, because he's a religious man, and yet he's an ordinary man to us. See what I mean? He's one of us. He knew in his religious part, but he didn't enforce it on us. He challenged us for anything. And the man would throw the challenge out, and he knows his job and things like that. But the way he put it, you all made, more or less. He made you feel comfortable and happy and forget your troubles, more or less, if you had any. But I wish I didn't know that fella's name, because he'd be worth mentioning in that tape, that chappy would. The parson we call the sky pilot was on Mulder. He talk about the fellow boosting morale up and things like that, and that was part of his job. He was excellent at it, and he had a pleasant way of going about it. He could take your mind off anything as well. He said, I was saying, get us in the tent. We'll be there for half an hour. Right, fire any question at us. I know one chappy called and I forget the question he put at him. Was that one particular one? And because he never joked about the Bible and things like that, if you want to be naughty. And called out was a bit naughty, and he gave me one in a delightful way that would be a joke that would be well worth it in any music hall. You know, that's the feeling you got.
Was it being impressed upon you that, you know, to retain your own morale and because of the civilians who were also suffering around?
Oh, yes, they were.
And were you being told, you know, remain firm and strong because they will take the
yes.
image that you were presenting?
Well, with the Maltese people, we treat them as kindly as we've known them all our lives, really. More or less, because the CO insisted that the regiment had a good name and it kept it. That was his main theme with you always. Wherever you go, you respect the regiment. And which the fellas knew and they did. I think the Maltese people, not only Durham there, are quite a lot of other people there. But they would still respect them, because even wherever we went, that was the CO's main stand with you. The population where you're there, you're in, you're saying that you could play the game with them. You treat them as one of yourself, really.
Did they invite you to their homes?
Some laddies got in, but we are saying they got the same age as the daughter and things like that, and they got some laddies did get in, but I know such as me, the Church of England boy, I never there. Never. No, I was keen as them, like, but it certainly didn't happen.
Did they ask you what religion you were?
As a matter of fact, they really knew. Because when they went to church, they seen the ones in church, and they were never seen us. I mean, we live at church in the dining hall, we there were service in the dining hall or in the dining tent or whatever there was, they would go to church.
The Catholic members amongst your regiment would go into their local church.
Yes, they would go in our local church. Well, the young girls would see them, and they'd know that they'd never seen my face, so that I was Black Mark again, more or less.
Were you getting mail from home?
Well, I never used to trouble mail much. My father was hard like me, and he said, as long as you keep none, all right. Not often I didn't get them, no. I wasn't worried. If I got a letter once in 6 months, that done me. I was satisfied. My father was satisfied as well. As long as he got word at least once within 6 months that I was still alive, he's content. But he had to live that 6 months thinking, well, you know, when you're being reported missing and things like that.
Other men, of course, in the unit, they would be looking forward to mail.
By even I, chaps would be married. Oh, yes.
Did you experience any men who went through problems and concerns because of the mail situation or the letters they were getting from home?
Well, we'd been abroad quite a while by then. But then, like, differently. Because we went out in 1937. Then we're going to 41, 42, and we're still abroad. The feeling was, some of the laddies' wives thought they wanted to try and get home. And some were getting divorced from them. And some misbehaved themselves and made a divorce possible. But being single fellow, well, you have to go, lovey. You have a different feeling altogether. Well, I mean, they have no responsibilities. Well, the chap has, hasn't he? A married man has, really. And he's a different fella. Oh, yes, he's a different fella, what a single fella is, by heavens.
You were a sergeant. Did you have men coming to you with their problems from home?
Well, you did, they would. Two little tales, we say, oh, well, that's not well. But we couldn't judge them because we didn't know what my life was like. You know, I mean, because I'm 79 years old, and they got, but and what you got to do and what you would do and things like that. But then this, no. Well, and yet when you realize now that yours is a different attitude to theirs. And they were bearing a more responsible position than really than what you were, being single. Probably you didn't sure, but no, after being married yourself in the peacetime, you realise that them laddies must have a different feeling as regards what you're saying about the mail business. Because we didn't care.
Were your letters being censored?
Always. Letters always got sent in.
And who was doing this?
Well, you'd have somebody in your own regiment doing appointed this well, your own lieutenant or captain in the company would do it, and then it would pass, and then it might be picked out by an higher one later on, but your own regiment sent it what you had. I mean, if it got sent it again, well, it was all well and good, but you never spoke openly what you were doing. Or, well, not at all. You just should miss that out. Well, you had to. Otherwise, you knew nicely you got the letter back. Not marked, scratched out. You got the letter back and told you that's not allowed. And then get the feeling saying you wrote a letter and it's not allowed. You got the feeling saying, well, I'm going to be a dude, you know what I mean? I've been told once what to do.
The men didn't resent this censorship.
No, you're told, but well, you know, it was for your own good as well. I mean, once the army imposes things like that for you, well, no, they might think it hard, but there's a reason behind it, isn't there? And if you're sensible and know the reason behind it, as I said, I wasn't worried I didn't get a letter for 6 months. But as long as I got at least one, I worked so in 6 months. I was satisfied. But my man's position was entirely different. I would really say that.
You were in tents, you say. What were you sleeping on?
Well, the one in, there were some iron beds, one in the tents, or palliasses and things like that. You got the, what the condition arrived at, the, if there was palliasses or there was beds in the tent, how well and good. But you don't get many beds in the tent, far from it. No. So it's genuine palliasses and things like that.
How did you cope with the hygiene problem?
Well, as I say, we've always been trained in peacetime. We always had our own sanitation methods at disposing what was required on, and that carried us away through altogether. But as I say, the worst thing was being short of blooming toilet paper. That was a horrible thing.
What did you use for toilets?
Well, the big buckets and that, and the sanitation chaps buries it, and then they throw the disinfectant thing down there. But that's done every day. That's done every day. It's their job, that's their duty. Sole duty is sanitation, which is called the sanitary wallets. That's definitely done every day. That was maintained definitely, without, like when you're in the first place as Mulder. Because there's no first toilets at all. But the sanitation blokes, that was their sole duty. They didn't do guards and things like that. They do solely sanitation work only.
You were on small rations. Did that affect your health and your fitness?
Well, you felt hungry quite a few times. But I would say it kept you fit at times. You fitter. Granted, you could knock a square meal back, but you got sufficient for to keep you through. You didn't put on no surplus flesh, but you're still fit.
Were you indulging in sport? Was there plenty of sport?
Well, no, not really. We didn't. I can't remind of much like a football team or anything like that. Amongst ourselves, yes, about six of us or five of us, but not as organised sport. No.
How did you relax?
Well, yeah. You had any wireless? I don't want any wireless or anything. No, I can't remind of any wirelesses either. Or records or place.
Did the army organise cinemas or dances?
No, I can't remind of any. No, that was a Mulder, no. Well, not that I never saw any. As I say, there weren't too many people to be collected together in any area or anywhere, if possible. I mean, if you're a company here, things like that, that's a company, and they're all spread out. Same as on the Air Force, the airmen, the billets and things like that, they had beds and that, because we've stopped in them. But, everybody was spread out as much as possible. And as regards organised recreation, none.
So you're making, in effect, your own recreation?
You made your own recreation. You could go down, at times, go down to Valletta and things like that, and where the bars was and a bit of cabarets, such as they were. You could get down to them. Some of the sailors come off the boat and things like that. But I was satisfied to stop where I were up Dingley, and you could go in the village thing and drink that, what they call their wine, made from grapes, you know, with only about 1/6 for the sea gill bottle. Well, that would last the other night. That was horrible to get used to, because it tasted like vinegar. You know, there was no beer. There was a brewery on Mulder, C-I-S-K, Sisk's. There was a brewery in Mulder, but there was never so much of that. It was more or less just drunk the same as the Maltese. It was quite good once you got used to it.
Did the troops give it a name of their own?
Yes, really, well named. Stuka Juice. It was termed as Stuka Juice. That's all it was termed as, Stuka Juice. The Maltese drink. It was just like the sherry wine made from grapes. Not, but the smoking situation was very low. Very low. You did get some, but it was very, very low, the smoking situation.
Drinking didn't cause any problems with the local people, did it?
No. Not the row fellas, no. Like, you know, it's just a fellow getting drunk and things like that. For all. It did make eyes go around at times.
Did things improve over the period of time that you were there? Things were very, very bad at one time. Did they get better?
Yes, and when things get better, then come what we could tell the old army bullshit. You know, I think this got to be on that gun that we're doing.
Were more supplies coming in and getting through?
There was more supplies coming in and getting through. And there was more cargo shipped to then the bombing ones, very severe. Because the Italians there, when they were, they just used to come on a Sunday morning high up. And they slackened off as well.
Do you recall how many raids you would get in a day or a week?
Oh, no, impossible. Impossible. Because there's one period, they didn't know what time you're going to get a warning. Any time, the day or night. One time. Then later on, you could guarantee, well, Sunday morning, have to come out to church, or have to be in the church on the Sunday morning, the sermon would be over. And then there's no more for the rest of the day, and that was the easy enough part. But whilst it was on, no, it was impossible to tell, day and night.
Had there been any changes in the commanders, the officers, whilst you were there?
Well, that said, your wee boss is second in command, and it would be Ardine, I think, command. Paddy Mayor was our company, and other companies had their own officers. No, there wasn't a great change of officers getting relieved there. I think more or less went to Malta where the same continued and more or less come outwards. We didn't get like reinforcements of fellas. No reinforcements. No. What we went with, we come out with more or less in Malta.
Were you still a land sergeant or had you become a full sergeant?
What they call it, war substantive sergeant is the term that I say.
And what were your own special duties as a sergeant?
Well, you're in a platoon, and you've got so many lads with you, might have 8 or 10 fellas with you. Now, you're responsible for that section all the time. You're responsible for the laddies' welfare, and they've got the same what they're entitled to do, and what duties they've got to do, and that they do them. And then or gets nominated for certain guards or certain, and you'll see that they are there. Or you're sometimes with them. You have a set of fellas with you all the time, more or less. And you get used to each other.
Did you have records to keep for your own section?
No. You mean writing down records? No. No, there was no writing down whatsoever. I mean, no diaries kept, or cameras. The two thieves were not allowed anywhere.
No cameras allowed?
No. I've never. Well, there wasn't. I think we forgot about them because we never seen any. There was no use of it. If it was, it wouldn't be detrimental to us if we were caught with them.
No, this was an army order, no cameras?
More or less. No, there was never. Cameras, no. It's just, you know, like you're going to take photographs of this, photograph. Not one in sight. None available.
Were you inspected by any of the very highest ranking people or
That's it, previous Lord Gort come down once. That's when the island was getting a bit on the easy side. That's when he's having them fellas turn up. They never turn up when it's on the hard side. They're given instructions because they've got to be done. But when the things get easy, they turn up, like ace, kings and queens, and a pack of cards. But when they go rough going, no. They're just back giving orders, just like old politicians there now. And then no, we see them on the television.
Did the men resent this? Was the grumbling about the higher command?
No. You never. Well, I used to say, I think my personal opinion of it, the farther away they are, the better. Because it's always trouble when they're there, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and it's got to be done. And they're only sure. It's only sure. It's not what happens there every day. Everybody got to be clean, inspected, and on parade, and God knows what. Another day, just normal. You're better off without them.
Who were the most important men of rank in a company, battalion, platoon? Who was the vital person, not persons?
Your CO and his company commanders. And then you had his RSM with him, his adjutant. Then you had his... We didn't see much of regiment and sergeant major then, because as I say, you were all spotted out. But your normal company commander, then your lieutenant, what was in charge of your platoon. You always had a lieutenant in charge of platoon. And they were replaced there, off the moment in the desert. You know, come and go.
Was this due to casualties or transfer?
Casualties mostly. Not transfer, not lieutenants. Captains might be transferred and things like that.
There was no opportunity for leave while you were on the island, even local leave.
Yes, I think though you could get a 4 days break down to one of the bases, the St. Paul's base and another base somewhere else. I think I got a one down to the fishing village. And I went out with the boat with the fisherman just off the shore. He says, well, we're having to go, we've only got to go so far out, you know, maybe 200 yards out with the boat or 100 yards out with the boat. And that's it, and I just come back. I think I've got about a 4 day break there.
And where did you stay?
Where one of the people's houses is what the government, you know, like the authorities recognised where you could go. Just for relax for a few days and just mix among the. You always had your right, you always had your rifle and equipment that way. Oh, yes, you always had that way.
How were you paid?
The pay?
Was it sterling or Maltese coinage?
Maltese money is the same as English money. Maltese money is the same as English money, Maltese.
Mm-hmm. What pay were you on at this time?
Sergeant pay, and I couldn't tell you what, but it would be made, I think, would be £5 a week, and then £5 a week. I know it's in quite a lot there, I know, as a matter of fact, you would think about joining up again if they accept you at the price what they're paying now.
What else do you remember of Malta, Mr. Wilson?
Well, that's they were up in Dingley, Rabat, Verdella, and then when the convoy came in, we went down and unloaded the boats, done stevedores, things like that. And I was surprised when we did get down the harbour, down Valletta, and things like that. The amount of bombing, the arts really suffered. And mind it was, everything was down. Just like we've seen photos of Berlin and things like that for the war, but states was down, the whole state was down, then they got it. So the people around the harbour area really, really suffered the most of the bombing.
Where were people living?
Well, I think it's St. Paul's catacombs and things like that. There's some caves in the more or less around that area. They'll get down in there because... But they did suffer the worst part of the bombing, the people around the harbour, definitely.